My destiny is what I make it. You've heard that a time or two? Man, that is the prevalent thought in our culture today, isn't it? We are the captains of our ship, and we determine and decide what will take place, when, where, and how. And God comes along and laughs. We're in James, and we'll see this in clear fashion next on Growing in Grace. Join us. From San Gabriel Community Church, welcome to today's broadcast of Growing in Grace with our teacher and pastor, Steve Ballantyne. We're in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Being conscious of providence, and in a humble fashion, I might add. This is what we'll explore today as we take a look at James as he warns us about being too confident, too cocky about our role in our own lives, if you will. At the end of the day, it's all on God's providence. Luck has nothing to do with it, nor does our own strength. For the details, here's Pastor Steve on today's Growing in Grace.
James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Father, we come before your word this morning, so grateful we have it in front of us. So grateful we have the privilege to open it and stand here and read it and study it so that we might know you. We thank you for all that you have done to preserve it for us, that it would be in our laps this morning, in our hands this morning. We come with such gratitude for that. We ask for clarity as we seek to understand it this morning, and that the understanding of it would move beyond our minds and this morning into our hands and our feet, our hearts, as we move from this place this week. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, James has been focusing on speech and the tongue a lot in the book of James. And as we've rehearsed a number of times, it's because it's out of the abundance of the heart that a man speaks. And so the tongue becomes an indicator of the heart. And so as he asks us to evaluate the genuineness of our faith, whether or not we truly know Christ, one of the things that we can do is evaluate what comes out of our mouths and whether our speech has been reformed, whether our speech has been transformed into the likeness of our Savior Christ. So is it just this decision we've claimed to have made, or is it affecting our actions? And so most of that speech has been directed toward others. He's addressed how we treat one another, whether we argue and whether we're fighting and quarreling with one another. In this section, he doesn't directly deal with speech per se, but he does deal with what we say. In this case, not against one another, but in essence, our speech before God. That is the revealer of a heart attitude toward God that he wants to address and correct. He deals with the issue and the sin, he will call it, of presumption. An attitude that presumes upon God to grant things that God has not necessarily promised. And there's connection in this text, in this paragraph, to the pride and lack of humility that he's addressed in the previous section. There's connection here to the worldliness. This is a characteristic of worldliness, to live your life in the way that he describes in these verses. Presumptive speech is speech against God. It's another way that pride manifests itself. I had one of those weeks, and maybe a lot of you can relate to it even this very week. I know all of you can relate to this in regard to life. I had one of those weeks where my calendar looks a lot like a joke book. You have those weeks? There's no day in my week this week that went as I had planned. And as the beginning of the week started to unfold, and as my study time got pushed farther and farther back, I was guarding Friday with all my life. Friday was just going to be my all-day study day, lockdown, focus day. That was my plan. And then we had a pipe open up in our house and start to flood our house from underneath. And the plans for Friday were different. Because that's the way life rolls, is it not? We make plans, we set about to go about doing things, and oftentimes those things don't happen the way that we intended, that we wanted, that we thought best. And what we do in those moments and how we react to those moments is really addressed in this paragraph. Because the presumptive heart thinks, I'm in charge of my week, and so when it doesn't go my way, I fall off a cliff. I am discouraged and depressed and frustrated. The person who has the disposition that James demands of us, that God demands of us, is one who understands that God is ultimately in control. And even when things happen or don't happen the way we want or don't want, we know God is the one ultimately in control. I'm going to use two words this morning throughout that I want to make sure we've defined up front. The first is sovereignty, and the second is providence. So I just want to be able to use those words, so I thought it'd be good to make sure we're on the same page as to what they are. To speak of God's sovereignty is to say that God is all-powerful. He has all authority over all things, okay? He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. The only thing Scripture indicates at all that God cannot do is he cannot lie. He cannot do something that would violate his holy nature. But God is all-powerful, and he is powerful over all other powers. There is no power that stands against him. That is God's sovereignty. God's providence, in short, is the outworking of God's sovereignty, his power, in day-to-day life through secondary means. It's the way God accomplishes his purposes in the course of our lives as we move about the day. It is his hand being on everything, his providential care. The Shorter Catechism defines it this way: the works of God's providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Okay, so sovereignty, God's power, providence, the outworking of that power in everyday life, in creation. And if he stopped exercising that providence, we would cease to exist. We are upheld, Scripture says, by the very word of his power. The only reason we can exist and breathe, we'll see this, is because God wills it, and he providentially makes it possible for us to have life. So with that understanding, we look at the text, and what we see in verse 13 are the plans that we make. They are presumptive plans. They are boasting. In verse 14, we see the plans versus the reality. In verse 16 and 17, we look at the assessment of that planning and that boasting. And in verse 15, we see the alternative. And we'll go out of order to end on the good news. So first, verse 13, the plan. This is the boast. Come now, you who say. Come now. It's a call to think. It's a command. He's going to use it again in chapter 5, verse 1. You can see it just down in the next verses we'll look at. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. I've got something to say, and you need to listen to it. He's drawing attention to something. A number of commentaries suggest that there's an implication in this phrase of disapproval. It would read very much like our English, come on. Okay, you're doing this now, come on, listen to me. I got something to say about what you're doing. Perk up. And who is he addressing? You who say something. This is a present tense. The reason that matters is he's talking about a life that's characterized by this kind of speech. You who keep on saying, you who are living your lives in this way, this is characteristic of your attitude and your life. And what is it they're saying that he wants them to consider? Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Now, this is a typical picture of a merchant, of a businessman, which they'd have been very familiar with, who makes plans for his business. Now, as you hear that, today or tomorrow, we're going to do such and such, we're going to make profit, the very way he lays out this illustration makes clear to us he's not condemning businessmen, he's condemning an attitude, and he's using a tradesman, a businessman, someone who would do trade with somebody else. He's using that as an illustration. This is an illustration of an attitude. So if you think you're not subject to the condemnation because you don't do business that way, that's not what's at stake here. He's dealing with an attitude of the heart. And this example, I think, of how we all think at times. Now, listen to what he says. He starts off, this person is going to be the one who determines when they go, today or tomorrow. They're in charge of their time, and they're boasting about it. Today or tomorrow, I am going to do this. They boast about where they're going to go. I'm going to go into such and such a town. I'm in charge of when I go. I'm in charge of where I go, and I'm going to spend a year there. I'm in charge of how long I will be there. And I'm in charge of what I'm going to do there. I'm going to exercise trade. I'm going to conduct business. And I'm in charge of the outcome. I'm going to make profit. Right? So all of this language says, look, I determine when I go, where I go, what I'm going to do when I'm going to get there, how I'm going to do it, and I even determine the outcome. These are my plans. It's a language of confident assurance, self-confidence. A plan that man has made that he must carry out that's dependent upon his efforts and his work and his planning and his purposes. So that's the sense of this verse. So you think, on the surface, why is it bad to say, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this and I plan on doing this, this, and this, and I plan on this being the outcome? James is not condemning business. And he's not condemning planning. And the point isn't even that you use these exact phrases. He's getting to the heart of something here. He's going after an attitude of the heart. The problem is not strategizing. So don't hear in this passage of James that we shouldn't plan for the future. Don't hear in this passage from James we shouldn't strategize about the future in business or in life. Proverbs time and again talks about the need to plan and to give forethought to things. That's not what's going to go on here. The problem, as we'll see, is not what's said, but the attitude of the heart. There are no conditions in this statement. If I can, if I am able. There's no maybes. There is a statement of absolute fact. This is what I'll do, when I'll do it, how I'll do it, and here's the outcome. And that is reserved, those kinds of statements are reserved for God and for God alone. Remember the poem made popular by the movie Invictus? It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That's the attitude of verse 13. That's not only how people often think, but when you dare to question them when they make statements like that, it's a personal affront. Don't question my autonomy. Don't question my ability to do what I want, where I want, how I want, and determine the outcomes myself. I am the captain of my own fate. Now, James is addressing believers. So when we believers utter things like verse 13, we're functioning as what's sometimes called practical atheists. It's not that we deny God. It's that the existence of God has nothing to do with the way we conduct our everyday lives. It's not that we say God doesn't exist. It's not that we don't sing songs to him. But when I conduct my business, I'm conducting my business. And when I'm worshiping God, I'm worshiping God. And those are not the same thing. Those are not the same categories. So we have a practical atheism, and he's warning against that kind of attitude, even creeping into the lives of believers. You remember the story of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Christ tells that this man that was incredibly wealthy, he's a farmer, he plants his crops, and his crops are plentiful. And he has so much yield in his crops that year that he's trying to figure out what to do because his barns cannot hold all that his crops have yielded. And so he says this, he says, I'm going to knock down my barns and build bigger barns and I'll fill those up and I will be set for the future. And then I will relax and I will eat and I will drink and I'll be merry. And then God says, you fool, do you not know that tonight your soul will be required of you? This is the attitude that James is addressing here. The heart that says, I'm in charge. I determine these things. That's the claim. That's the boast. That's the presumption. Now, verse 13, look at the reality. So this is the claim that we so often make. Now, look at the reality. This is in contrast. Notice the first word, verse 14, yet. You make this claim, yet. And then he says, the reality of your life, person, creature, is characterized by two things, ignorance and finiteness. Ignorance and frailty, if you rather. The first is ignorance. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. So you say, I'm going to do this tomorrow. The problem is you don't know about tomorrow. Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. You can talk all you want about tomorrow. You can show me your calendar. I can show you my plans. I can show you the meetings I have scheduled. I can show you the things I anticipate and talk about what I am going to do tomorrow. But here's the reality. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what life may bring. I don't know what circumstance might pop up. I don't think it's hard for us to recognize the truth of that, is it? When you contemplate just even the last week of your life, the last month of your life, to say, that's not what I expected to happen. Those weren't my plans. That's not what I had anticipated to take place. And every week, almost every day, certainly we experience this. Plans change. Circumstances change. Weather changes. People's mind changes. A car tire goes flat. A car breaks down. A pipe bursts. A person gets sick. We get sick. And so we say, look, you're boasting about what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't have any control over tomorrow. You're ignorant of the plans of tomorrow. So that's the first part of your reality. You make all the boasts you want, but here's your reality. You're ignorant. The second part of our reality is even more sobering. Look at verse 14. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Then he asks this question, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Not only do you not know what tomorrow will bring, you might not be there. So you're not only ignorant, you, friend, are finite and frail, and you do well to remember it. You're talking about plans for today and tomorrow and the next year. Not only are you ignorant of the future, you may not be there when the future gets here, for tonight your soul may be required of you. That's very pointed. That's very personal. What is your life? And he answers the question. You're a mist. Your life is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. It was almost cold enough early this morning to breathe and see your breath, but you've all experienced that. That's the picture here. You, on a cold morning when your breath goes out and you see your breath, you can't catch it, you can't hold on to it. It's there and then it's gone. James says, friend, that is your life. That is your life. Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 to 6. Let me read that whole passage to you. Psalm 39. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. 1 Peter chapter 1, all flesh is like the grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls. Psalm 144, the picture again, our life is like a breath, like a passing shadow. In Job, he is recounting in the midst of his misery, as the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so is he that goes down to Sheol. Our lives from life to death are like a cloud that comes across the sky and then is gone. My days, he says, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. The days of my life just fly by. You've felt that, have you not? And the older you get, the more you feel that, how fast it's gone, how quickly time is moving. Job 8, verse 9, but we are but a yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Job 9, verse 25, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They're passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hastens towards its prey. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days, and those days are full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, is cut down. He flees as a shadow and does not continue. What is your life? It's a shadow. It's a vapor. It's a breath. It's a passing cloud. And it's moving before us. And those days are moving quickly. And that's the Bible's description of our lives. This summer, when we were in England, specifically in London with the kids, one of the things you end up visiting is a lot of graveyards. And one night, Jonathan and I went to find the grave of John Bunyan and to see it. And one that was fascinating about it, it was in this graveyard just in between these two streets. And, they had, I think because they didn't want to upkeep it, they deemed it a nature reserve, which just meant no one took care of it. And so these massive headstones. Now, this is back in a time, this is 400 years ago, where it took some considerable work to make a 4-foot headstone, engraved from top to bottom, about this person, about what they had accomplished, what they had done. But virtually the entire cemetery in disrepair, headstones fallen face down, cracked in two. Men that had accomplished great things, and now they're in the corner of a graveyard with weeds growing over the top. James says, friend, that's you and me. That's you and me. Life moves by quickly. We make all these plans, and yet we're ignorant about tomorrow. We don't even know if we have a tomorrow to conduct our lives, and yet we claim, I am the captain of my own destiny, the master of my own soul. It's ignorant. It's arrogant. Ecclesiastes 12:11-12, as the preacher moves towards the end of that description, he calls upon us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Why? Because life is short, and death is real, and judgment is certain. That's Ecclesiastes 12. You remember your Creator in the days of your youth because this life is short.
The ministry of San Gabriel Community Church. This is Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Thank you for taking a few moments out of your time to join us here on the program today. We trust you've been encouraged as we've gone through God's Word for the purpose of glorifying Christ and edifying the believer, challenging the unbeliever. Questions, comments about our broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. A great place to start would be our website, growingingraceradio.org, a very simple website. We've got our past services available there to listen to again at your convenience, as well as a blog by Pastor Steve and a link to the church, San Gabriel Community Church, if you'd like to know more. Again, that's growingingraceradio.org. A lot of information there. Stop by, pay us a visit, drop us an email. Let us know you did. If you have other questions, prayer requests, maybe you'd like to know something else, we have our phone line always available for your use at 626-656-1000. That's 626-656-1000. Sunday services at San Gabriel Community Church, 9 a.m. with Sunday school at 10:45, and we also live stream. All of the information and directions can be found again at our website, growingingraceradio.org. Make sure you follow the links, and we'll get you all the information you need. And then come back and join us next week as our studies continue here on Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.